Blog Talk Radio.
And by my spirit, you'll begin to return.
rejoice, and you'll begin to say, lifting your voice and declaring this new day, for I'll cause you to go forth into a new way. You'll leave this place in a new way, a new strength and a new direction, for I'll restore years, and I'll restore health, and I'll restore joy, for this is a day of great restoration, and I'll restore the gifts of the Spirit, and they shall increase, and they shall multiply, for times of refreshing shall come from my presence, saith the Lord, and it shall fall like rain. So now I hear the sound of an abundance of rain, that it shall rain, it shall rain, and I will pour out my Spirit, saith the Lord. So receive it and declare it and say, it's not so far away, but it's here right now, today. Ha, ha, ha. Come on, give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a shout.
Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Shalom, shalom, my brothers and sisters. Welcome to the Lord's Hour. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. He is so good. And he is so wonderful. He's still warning us of his coming. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. He's giving us the time, right before the time. Hallelujah. Before we get to go home. Hallelujah. He is warning us that he is coming. Hallelujah. For his people. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. And it's so awesome. It's just so awesome that Jesus is coming. It's so awesome that we're going to go home. Hallelujah. And so, hallelujah, drink all the tea you're going to drink. And hallelujah, whatever you like down here, whatever food you like, just eat it. And just say goodbye to everyone, to your family, because very soon you're going to be lost to this world. Hallelujah, but you will be found in God. You will be home very soon, hallelujah. And so all these things will be left behind very soon. The Lord told me in the beginning of this year, do whatever you're going to do this year, because you, hallelujah, have very short time left before you go home. And I took this word very serious. When the Lord spoke this word to me, I was shaking inside me. The way he just spoke them to me, hallelujah, whatever you're going to do, just go ahead and do it, because very soon you will be out of here. And he was very clear to me about this year. Praise Jesus, hallelujah. When he spoke this word to me, he did not talk to me about this year, but he let me know we have entered the time, hallelujah, of the year. Praise Jesus, hallelujah. Very clear, hallelujah. And so I still believe we are not going to see 2013. Praise Jesus, hallelujah. And so my brothers and sisters, I want to welcome my sister Amy to the Lord's Hour. Sister Amy, welcome to the Lord's Hour.
God bless you, Brother LV. Hello, brothers and sisters. God bless each and every one of you.
Amen. Praise Jesus, hallelujah. Sister Amy, what are you getting from the Lord now? We heard him speak through this prophet, and I'm going to play some other audio very soon that it's going to confirm everything they're saying, everything the Lord has been telling me, that very soon we're out of here. We don't hear a year from them for sure, but on the day and the hour, no one knows the day and the hour. The Bible is very clear about this. But we know, we the bride of Christ, we know we're going home very soon. And so I know he's talking to you. And so we want to hear what God is telling you, Sister Amy.
Amen, Brother LV. Last night, brothers and sisters, before the program had come on, I was in prayer with the Lord. And, you know, a lot of times after I get done praying and just repenting, I just begin to just speak to the Lord. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord Jesus, I said, when is your coming? You know, how long? When is your coming? How long do we have to wait? And the Lord said to me, my coming is now, brothers and sisters. Now, that doesn't mean he was coming at right that second, but what that means is it's time, is what I felt that he was saying to me, that his coming was now. And it was just so, you know, I got such a strong confirmation with the Holy Spirit, even when the Lord was speaking to me, and it was just a very powerful, but such a love and such a peace. But he did, you know, it wasn't a long conversation. It was just, my coming is now. Amen.
Amen. That is so awesome. That is so awesome. We're all kind of on the same page about this. We're all on the same page that we are going home, and this is it. And there's no more time left. And you hear this man of God said a very clear time have ended as we know it. And so we're saying this. I know the Lord has been, you know, when I asked the Lord about this, he spoke to me last week about this very, very clear. I asked the Lord, have time ended? He says clear to me, time has ended. So that clock is not running up there like it was. So praise Jesus, hallelujah. It is so awesome because the Father, hallelujah, is getting ready to give the order for his bride to come up. Jesus is just waiting on the Father to give him the sign to go ahead and hallelujah, have the archangel sound the trumpet. Praise Jesus, hallelujah. And so heaven is ready for the bride. I don't know how many people wants to go to heaven. I want to hear of people in the chat room, people at home, email me. How many of you are looking forward to be going home already?
Amen.
Praise Jesus, hallelujah. Because we got to be excited right now. We got to be very excited. Hallelujah. We're out of here.
Amen.
Soon. That's it. This is it. And I bet a lot of you listening to me now wanted to see this day come. And it's practically here.
Yes.
So we got to be jumping up and down with joy. Praise Jesus, hallelujah. We got to be so happy. We got to be so excited to be out of here. But it don't sound this way. Hallelujah. And I get a message from people. I'm excited. We're going home finally, Brother Elvie. Praise Jesus. All these messages the Lord is giving all different prophets from different countries. He is telling them the same thing. This is it. I'm taking my people home. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I don't know if you're aware what the beast is doing here in the United States. This beast here, because there's another beast in Europe. And that other beast is doing all kinds of damage over there, for sure. But the beast here just had the house pass the bill, the praise Jesus, hallelujah. And of course, he's going to blame the Republican because the House is controlled by the Republican, but he can veto anything that the House passes, okay? And they're going to reduce our spending, okay? I believe it is. And in this bill that they just passed in the House, they just sent a letter this week. My mother-in-law just received a letter that her SSI is reduced. Okay, and she been out of work for a while, and she depends on this check from the government. Okay, like a lot of people from Social Security and different things, it's being reduced now, and so she can't pay her rent.
Mm-hmm.
They reduced the rent, and so my father-in-law called me to tell me this on the phone, and I was like, they're doing to these people, the beast is doing this to this, to the word he's seen, I don't know, going on over there, meaning this to hell. To the word. He is hell. Praise Jesus, because he knows. He knows what the devil is planning. He's working with the devil. And he knows what's coming. And it's a 7-year tribulation coming, hallelujah, very soon. That has nothing to do, hallelujah, with the bride. nothing to do with the bride. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. This tribulation has nothing to do with us. And so we are warning people. They have put their trust on the system. They have put their trust on this government. They voted for him. They put him in over there where he is. And so we know this has to happen anyway, because it's in the Word of God. And we know, praise Jesus, hallelujah, that this was going to come, and it's here, and the news are going out there. People now are scared, afraid. Jesus, hallelujah. When you got the devil running a country, this is going to happen. Fear, dominating, dominating. And so we, the bride, keep our eyes on Jesus. There's no way we can look to the world, to the system who is run by the devil. Jesus. Keep Jesus. And nothing else. Praise God. We got to keep eyes on heaven, because we're going there. We're going to heaven. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. And it's so sad. So sad what's going on over here. And we warn people back in November, we warn people for the beast. We just warn them. We did what we could. We reached out to people are good, warning them not for him. And even right before the Lord told to him like 3 months ago to warn people that he came on the Lord's hour. Sorry if I'm breaking up, hallelujah. Praise Jesus, hallelujah. He came on the Lord's hour, and he warned people for the beast 3 and 4 months ago. A lot of people, they got offended. They were saying that, you know, and they just came. Praise Jesus, hallelujah. And then they later find out through different prophets that he truly is a beast, and to dream to the motions of the Lord. And anyway, praise God, hallelujah. So now for 3 years, my brother has been saying he is the Antichrist. Now I can believe, and I'm standing there with Larry, say, Larry, you're right. I asked the Lord, he's now, I believe. It's like coming against us and insulting us, calling us for pride. We're coming, and they came. Praise Jesus, hallelujah, praise God. Praise the Lord. I hope everybody can hear me. Praise Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Can you hear me there, brother? Not so good. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I just apologize for it. That's just the same. You just there.
Yeah, I'm here, Brother LV. It's just real, real choppy. It's hard to understand.
Okay. Can everybody else see you fine? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And it's my connection and everything. We sure that nothing else is holding us back from. Praise Jesus, Lord, hallelujah. God is good, hallelujah. He's good, he's always good. All the time, can everybody hear me better now? Praise, hallelujah. Praise God, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. I'm going to have Amy share a testimony or something for now. And I'm going to make a change here, and then this should make it better. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Amy, you want to go ahead and say something while Shane makes...
Sure, Brother Elvie.
Go ahead.
You know, brothers and sisters, in this time we're in, there's something I would like to share with you all that the Lord has really laid on my heart. And I have really gotten some wonderful emails from some brothers and sisters around the world, and that has just really blessed my heart. And what we had talked about last Sunday was, you know, keeping each other in prayer and being sure that the bride of Christ is really praying for each other in this time we're in, because, you know, we really need to be seeking the Lord and helping each other out and praying for one another. And this is what we need to be doing, and this is what the Lord expects us to do, brothers and sisters. So, you know, again, let me urge you, if you would like to be praying for someone, or if you would have a prayer request, then you guys can email me at amyhoward26@yahoo.com. And also on Sunday, I know my sister Tammy was wanting to speak a little bit about this as well. And, you know, I think the Lord has really spoke to her about doing some kind of prayer thing. That way, you know, we can be lifting up each other in prayer at all times, and maybe have somebody, you know, individuals praying during the day, like 30 minutes at a time, just to be sure that we're lifting one another up in prayer. It's just real important right now that we're seeking the Lord and, you know, kind of having each other's back in this time. And I'll go ahead and post it in the chat room, Brother Cornelius. But again, we'll talk more about it on Sunday when my sister Tammy, you know, can give us some more details. I know the Lord has laid it on her heart. And I know, again, that there is, like I said, several people that have contacted me and, you know, are really needing prayer, and others that would like to pray for people. So if you'd like to join, then that would be great. And right now, again, you know, in this time we're in, I'm just amazed. I don't, you know, I know a lot of these prophets, and I get a lot of emails. A lot of them are saying the same thing, just like Brother Elby says, and these are people all around the world that, you know, per se don't know each other. And the Lord has given us all the same message, that the coming of the Lord is right here, right now at hand. And, you know, we see so much stuff being played out right now, and we see such a great evil all through the world. And, you know, I've always said to keep watch on Israel, because that situation is just absolutely falling apart over there. And we know that in the Word of God, that's what is supposed to happen in the last days. So we need to really be seeking the Lord right now. And, you know, I don't know if you guys can feel it, but I can really, you know, literally feel it in my spirit. Things have changed, and you can feel how close it is that the Lord is near right now, and he's fixing to rapture his bride. And I know that Brother Elby has been telling us some things that, you know, that the Lord has told him, and it's just very confirming to me to be able to hear other people around the world that are getting these same messages. Amen. Are you back, Brother Elby? Okay, Brother Elby must not be back in yet. But I don't know, are you guys, I'd like to know, and if you could put a one in the chat room, if you guys are feeling the same thing in your spirit, how close we are. It seems like to me that something has definitely changed, and, you know, it's not anything that I can really directly point my finger on, but, you know, you can feel it. Exactly, Chance, a quickening, just a quickening. My brother Cornelius and Miguel and Listener and Prepare, you know, it is amazing to me to feel that, you know, it is this change that's going on in the spirit realm, and we're so close to going home in the rapture right now. And I know, you know, a lot of people fell away right now, and it's really sad to see this. And, you know, that's why I think so many people are, you know, just really getting downhearted right now, because it's not happening when they thought it should, and they fell away. And, you know, it is sad to see, but there are so few people, you know, that are going to go up in the rapture because of just getting so downhearted and turning back into the world. And brothers and sisters, you know, just keep going. Just keep going right now. Keep seeking the Lord and praying. And, you know, if you get to that point in your walk where you feel like giving up, you know, talk to somebody and, you know, get with somebody that can help you to pray. And, you know, it's not worth giving these things up in this time we're in. We're so close to going home, and, you know, our reward is so great, and if we could only see it right now, what the Lord has for us, we would just be so amazed, and we would be willing then to come back and serve God with all we've got and endure whatever we have to endure. But, you know, we got to seek it by faith and seek the Lord like never before. Amen?
Amen. We truly got to do that, sister. I hope everybody hears better, at least a little bit better. Praise Jesus, hallelujah. And I apologize for the problem with the audio, and it's that I still don't have all my equipment connected because I just moved this past week, and it's just so much to be done yet. But I'm hoping that people can hear me better now. Praise Jesus, hallelujah. Can I get a one or a yes if you can hear me better now? Praise Jesus, hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Amy. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. Praise God, amen. Thank you very much for that. Okay, so far so good. Amen to that, hallelujah. And so, yeah, praise God, hallelujah. We'll come back next week, and we'll have I will have a better audio. I will have everything connected the way it's supposed to, hallelujah. So this problem will go away. Praise Jesus, hallelujah. I just need a few more days before I can have everything connected back. Praise Jesus, hallelujah. And I thank all of you for your patience. Praise God, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So, yeah, going home, it just, like Sister Amy says, it's just so soon. It is so soon for us to be going home, hallelujah, that all we need to be doing is repenting. Repenting, it is so important that we stay in repenting. I wanted to read a few verses from the Bible. Like Ephesians 2, 9 and 8, chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of work. Let not anyone boast, hallelujah, or be prideful or think of something else, hallelujah. In another word, we've been saved by grace, and we get caught up in everything else that we forget that we've been saved by grace. We don't want to forget that, hallelujah. And we don't want to forget that if anyone comes to the Lord in total repentance and true and sincere repenting, the Lord will forgive them, will cleanse them, will restore them, hallelujah. And he God makes the decision who's going to go to heaven, not us. God makes it. And so we just got to believe God. We got to trust God and his work on people. Praise Jesus, hallelujah, that he's going to work on them and he's going to get them ready. Praise Jesus, hallelujah, and it's only God can do this. Hallelujah. And so we have to encourage one another. That's one thing that we need to be doing, hallelujah, encouraging one another to continue to seek the Lord, especially now that this day is approaching, the Bible says. We got to encourage one another. It is so, so important that we do so. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. A lot of time, if we don't have nothing to say, it's better to just open up the Bible and praise Jesus, hallelujah. Send someone a Bible verse and say, look, this is what I've been meditating on. So John 1:14 says, the Word become flesh. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So grace comes from God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And by his grace, we are saved. By his grace, we are cleansed. We are purified. God is doing his will into our life by his grace, by his mercy, in another word. And so let's never forget that. Hallelujah. It is not something we do. It's not a work, like Paul says to the Ephesians. It is by the mercy of God. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. And so John 1:16 says, and of his fullness we have all received grace for grace. 1 John 17. And for the law was given through Moses, but grace came through Jesus Christ. So we know about that through Jesus grace come. Hallelujah. Acts 4:33. And with the great power the apostle gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Again, by grace. Grace, hallelujah. Praise Jesus, hallelujah. It is just so, so important that we understand that by the grace of Jesus we are saved. We can serve God. We can seek God. We can repent. We can be, hallelujah, in the pursuit of righteousness and holiness. Hallelujah, and all the things God wants us to do in obedience, seeking obedience. You know, it is hard for someone to say, I'm holy, because if you say that, that's pride. But in order for us to be holy, we need the Lord to help us. And so never forget to ask the Lord for his help. Cry out to the Lord. Pray. For you to be holy, pray for you to be obedient, pray for you to keep his word. It's very important that you pray for these things. Hallelujah. And pray for you to be righteous before God, because you are under the blood of Jesus. But pray for these things, which are the will of God for your life. Hallelujah. And I'm sure the Lord Jesus Christ will help you, and the Holy Spirit and God Almighty will help you with these things. Because this is the will of God, and these are the prayer that God answers right away. If you pray to God and you say, God, I want to be holy, like the Lord Jesus Christ, be holy because I'm holy, Jesus said. You pray this prayer to him, I'm sure he's going to help you right away. You pray that you want to be humble like the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, humility like God, and he will help you. Jesus said, be thou perfect like thy Father that is in heaven. You pray to God that you want to be perfect like the Father in heaven, God will help you to be these things. Be for God what God wants us to be. That's what we need to focus on. We need to focus on the Lord, focus on his work in our life, him helping us, hallelujah, to make us what he wants us to be. Remember that. For God to make us what he wants us to be. He wants us to be holy. He wants us to be perfect. He wants us to keep his word. Hallelujah. He wants us to be obedient. And so all these be that God wants from us, hallelujah, we have to ask him to help us be these things, hallelujah. Don't think you're going to accomplish these things on your own strength, on your own knowledge, that you know the Bible for so many years, you have studied the Bible for so many years, you've been going to church for so many years, and you think that because you got all that knowledge and you've been in church for so many years, you're going to accomplish this. It's not possible that way. It's just not possible. Do not lean on your own understanding, but trust God. Trust the Lord. Trust in his wisdom. Trust in his power. Hallelujah. Trust in his power like Paul did. He did not trust in his understanding or knowledge, but trust in the power of God in his life. And God was able to use Paul in a mighty, mighty way for his glory. Hallelujah. And so trust in him that he will do these things in your life. Hallelujah. As you pray to him. Praise Jesus, hallelujah. Another word, Revelation says that we have overcame him, the enemy, the accusers of the brethren, by the testimony of Jesus and by the blood. The testimony of Jesus is the life of Jesus in your life. You want to overcome Satan attacked against you? Hallelujah. You need to walk like the way Jesus did, and obedient to the Father.
doing the will of God. And how do you do that? You do that by you submitting, humbling yourself to God, asking God, praying to God to make you be what he wants you to be. Praise Jesus. He wants you to be holy. God will do this in your life. Not you, but God. Hallelujah. But you have to humble yourself before him. If my people, who I call by my name, Christian, hallelujah, believers, who are called by my name, humble themselves. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Our job before God, it is to humble ourselves. Okay, so what God means for us to humble ourselves, for us to cry out to him, for us to depend on him, for us to go to him for anything we need, knowing and understanding that we cannot do this on our own strength, our own knowledge, our own understanding, our own religious belief. A lot of people say, well, I come from a certain religion, and they taught me this way, and I believe this work, and blah, 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 and they go around about talking about their religion. It doesn't work. Religion doesn't work. People have tried religion for thousands of years. Hallelujah. And their state is worse and worse and worse. People go to hell in religion. In religion. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Because salvation only comes through Jesus Christ, not through religion. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus never preached a certain religion. He preached about being a son of God, a daughter of God, by his mercy and his grace. That's it. That's all we have from God. Hallelujah. Being a son and a daughter of God, which he's called his people to be. That's it. To serve him. To seek him. To be in a relationship with him. Hallelujah. That's what the disciples had. They had a relationship with Rabbi, our Lord and Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. And they walk in that. And then before Jesus left, he says to them, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait until you receive the promise from the Father, the Holy Spirit, which thou wilt receive, hallelujah, and thou shalt receive power when the Holy Spirit will come upon thee. Hallelujah. A lot of people think they can be a Christian without the Holy Spirit. A lot of people don't even believe in speaking in tongues. A lot of people don't believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Wrong, 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 wrong. These gifts are the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Sister Amy, you want to talk about this a little bit?
You're exactly right, Brother Elvie. I'm amazed at the churches out there that don't believe in speaking in tongues, that don't believe in healing. And, you know, I don't understand that, because if it is in the Word of God, you better be believing that it's true. And God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And, you know, there's been many churches that I've been to that, you know, and they don't preach on healing or praying over someone for healing or, you know, speaking in tongues. And it's sad, because they do such damage to the body of Christ. And, you know, they don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it is amazing to me, because if it is in the Word of God, you better believe that is accurate for today. Amen?
Amen. Amen. And it is so sad, because they are saying no to the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit is quickening people he empowered people to speak in tongues. And so they make these people quiet. They tell, no, keep that quiet over here. Keep that quiet. Hallelujah. And it's just so sad. It is so bad. When the Lord took me into the ministry, into the prison ministry, this was one of the issues we had. And we have our brothers and that were baptized in the Holy Spirit, had the gifts of tongues, and they couldn't speak it in some other services. But when the Lord brought us in there, all these problems were going on, and a lot of people were even backsliding because of this problem, because they came from churches that believed this, and now they're in the church system over there in the prison ministry, and a lot of these ministries that go from these different churches, they're not believing this stuff. Hallelujah. And I went and opened the Bible to them and said, look, it's in the Bible. How can you argue of something that's been written there for thousands of years? It's there. Hallelujah. The disciples spoke in tongues. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. And so how do you argue this? And so, no, we said, no. We're here to worship God. We're here to serve the Lord. And so we're going to let God take over the service. We're going to let the Holy Spirit take over the service. We're going to do according to how God will lead us to do this service. Whatever God wants, that's what we're going to do. We will pray about this. We will pray together, and we pray it in group. We hold hands. We pray to heaven. Hallelujah. We cry out to heaven. Pray, Jesus, and out of the sudden, the presence of the Lord will come down. People started speaking in tongues, and it was amazing, amazing service we had. Praise Jesus. People got healed. People got saved. People got delivered. Praise Jesus. People got filled with the Holy Spirit. And it was so awesome, the freedom that came by believing the word. It's always by faith.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's always by faith. We have to believe this stuff. We have to believe the word, and God will make it come to pass. Hallelujah. And that's what I was doing. I was inviting people to believe and let God bring the result. And so God showed us his power after we believed and started baptizing people, started saving people. And we have people who wanted to be in the service more than they having their family visited them. Praise Jesus, hallelujah, because God was there. God was moving. God was ministering. People went all there with all kinds of problems, all right? And the Lord took away the burdens were going away. The hurt, the sickness. People were sick for months and years. And we're taking all kinds of medications and pills, hallelujah. And the medication was doing nothing for them. And we said, well, we're going to have to believe God in this word. We're going to have to believe that God hears the sick. And we're going to call on God on that. We're going to pray about this. We're going to ask God to come and heal people here. Hallelujah. And so God did all that for his glory. He came and healed people. Set people free to all kinds of demons. Demon was screaming out of that room. Hallelujah. Crying out of there. Hallelujah. Because they could not stand the presence of God. And this is one of the great things, that when you call the presence of God in a service, hallelujah, demon will scream out of there. They cannot stand in the presence of God.
Amen.
Praise Jesus, hallelujah. And these are the kind of service I love to be in. This is why I tell the brothers and sisters, when we do service, hallelujah, and we get together, we got to call the presence of God. Because once the presence of God come, demon cannot stand that. I have people who have been possessed by demon and have come to listen to the Lord's power, and they have felt the demon leave them, hallelujah. And they said, man, I don't know, Brother Elie, but I've been listening to you, and I've been feeling demons just leaving my life.
Amen.
Hallelujah. They cannot stand the presence of God. Hallelujah. They cannot stand it. And so I know that where I want to be is in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Because I know that the devil will not be there. Praise Jesus, hallelujah. And so if you want to walk in freedom, you got to seek the presence of God. But you have to be in repenting. You got to understand that this flesh is evil. It's bad. This flesh, a pastor said many years ago, this flesh can be worse than Satan.
Yeah.
Because you are in this body, in this flesh. And this flesh has its own desire, its own will, its own mind. And it wants everything that is evil. It's a fallen flesh. It's a fallen Adam. Hallelujah, and Eve. And so it has the flesh has a fallen foundation. Hallelujah. But our spirit, hallelujah, has a heavenly foundation. And so our spirit and soul need to be connected with the Creator so we can enjoy the freedom. And then once our spirit and hallelujah, and soul is connected with the Creator, with the Lord, then the flesh can enjoy freedom. Hallelujah, because the flesh is captive by sin. Hallelujah. But when you are repenting and you understand that this is only a temporary body, and that very soon when that trumpet sounds, you will not be in this body anymore. You will enjoy a heavenly body, a glorified body. That's what's waiting for you, my sister, my brother. A glorified body. Hallelujah. You're going to enjoy heaven in a new body. You're going to enjoy everything that is going on in heaven in that new body. Very soon, very soon, very soon. Hallelujah. And so we are now to be staying here for the wrath of God, to see that. To go through that? No. All these nonsense are post-rapture, are all nonsense, falls from the pit of hell, from the heart of Satan and from the pit of hell, these post-rapture nonsense. It's not in the Bible. Hallelujah. But the devil wants to preach a message to people of that to see if some of the elect will listen, will believe that garbage. Hallelujah. So they can end up staying. Hallelujah. That's why the devil is doing that. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. So see if it's some of the elect, some of the people on the rapture list will pay attention to that false teaching and will say, well, the Lord is taking too long. I might just believe something else. No. You stand on the word of God. You stand in the truth. You stand in the gospel, like Paul says, and the doctrine that you have received from the beginning. You believe in the rapture. You are believing the coming of Jesus. You stay there. You don't let anyone move you. Don't care how famous the evangelist is. I don't care how famous that minister is or that pastor is. You stand on the word. You don't let anyone bring you a different gospel. Hallelujah. Let him be cursed to the Galatians, the apostle Paul. If someone else, including an angel, bring you a different gospel, let him be cursed, says Paul. Hallelujah. He is cursed by God. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. He's under curse. He's going to the pit of hell. He's going to the lake of fire. Him that brings you another gospel. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Because that's coming from Satan. It's not coming from God. So you stand on the word. You don't let no one, hallelujah, come and deceive you. Come and move you from your belief, bride of Christ. No, 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 no. Stand on the word. Hallelujah. Stand on your belief. Hallelujah. Tell them this is what the word says. But don't go into argument. Don't argue with demons. See, this is one of the problems people had. They spent hour and hour arguing the Bible with a demon. Hallelujah. You should discern he's a demon by the negative that is coming out of him. Because a true human, a true believer, hallelujah, will not argue about the word of God unless he is possessed by demon and he is totally deceived or he has sold his soul to the devil. There's a three kind of human down here. Three kind of person down here. A person who is possessed by demon, a person who has sold his soul to the devil. Praise Jesus, hallelujah. Praise God. Another person who have believed a wrong gospel, wrong teaching, and think that's the way it is. Hallelujah. Praise God. And then the rest you got people, evangelists that are demons sent by Satan to preach the gospel. Hallelujah. Sad. It's very, very sad what's going on down here. Ministers that are demons, pastors that are demons. Hallelujah. Well, one time the Lord showed this to me in the spirit. Took me out and showed me thousands of pastors that are demons in America and the world. Thousands of them. And he put them all right in front of me from every single country. All these pastors that look like human, that are real, real demons, sent up there by Satan. Praise Jesus, hallelujah. And I was shocked. You know what I said? Lord, how would people have any escape from these demons? How would they escape them? Hallelujah. And the Lord, what he led me to understand was, I will protect what is mine. I will protect what is mine. Praise Jesus. Because the way I saw everything, it was like, then people had no hope, Lord. I mean, what hope did they have when these pastors, a demon, look like a person preaching the gospel, twisting the word, deceiving the people? Hallelujah. Look at this beast as he ran for president. He said in his campaign, look what he said in his campaign. You can look it up online. Okay? That he was going to make the rich pay more taxes. And now all these bills that are passing by is totally the opposite of what he said. He said the rich was going to pay more taxes. Now the poor are paying more taxes. Well, how did he win? He deceived the people. Everything that comes out of his mouth is a lie. Everything that comes out of the devil's mouth is a lie. It's a deceive. Hallelujah. He told people what they wanted to hear to vote for him. Okay? What they wanted to hear. Oh, no. If the rich are going to pay more taxes, then the poor don't need to pay no more taxes. Then we're fine. Oh, man, finally, the rich are going to pay more. And now he twisted everything around. That's what the devil does. He tells you what you want to hear, and then he goes on and twists the word. He's a liar. He's the father of all lies, Jesus said. Always remember what Jesus said about the devil. He is the father of all lies. He'll never tell people the truth. He will always tell people what they want to hear, what sounds good. Like he told Eve, oh, but God said, no, 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 Eve, wait a minute, Eve. The day you eat from that, you will be like God. That's not what God says. That was not what God says. He took the word, he made it sound good to Eve, twisted the word, and deceived Eve. That's exactly what he's doing. The devil never changed his way of doing business. You know why? Because it works. Look how he had the world following him, being deceived by him. He tells them the word they want to hear. They listen to him, and they get deceived. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. May God have mercy. And they receive those deceivable word. Hallelujah. It's so sad what's going on down here. And so when the Lord gave me that revelation of all these demons that are pastors in ministry and ministry in churches taking the word of God and twisting the word of God, this is what they do. They go ahead and they read Matthew 7. Okay? Boom, boom. And they take Matthew 7, verse 1, and they take that word after they read it, and they twist it right away. Oh, this is what it means. Then you got all these good humans in there who are seeking God, hallelujah, who wants to get out of this world, who wants to be saved, and then they take the part of the rapture. We will be taken out in the twinkling of an eye, hallelujah, the sound of the trumpet. Praise Jesus, hallelujah. At the midnight hour, the bridegroom come to take the bride. Hallelujah. We are at the midnight hour now. And so they take that and they say, no, post-rapture. No, no, no. Post-rapture. This is what that means, the midnight hour. Post-rapture. Hallelujah. They twist it.
Amen.
That's not what the word says. No, but they tell people, no, wait a minute. Let me read to you Matthew 25 again. And they go, oh, the 10 virgins, the 5 virgins, 5 was foolish, 5 were wise, boom, boom, boom. And they say, post-rapture. And you got people sitting there and say, oh, amen to that. Amen to that, Pastor. You know. You don't say amen to that. You know why you don't say amen to that? You cannot agree with the word of God being twisted.
Amen.
You cannot agree with that.
That's right.
Because that's not what you read from that word. You take that Bible. You got that Bible. You read what the Bible says. You believe what the Bible says. And you don't let anyone come and tell you, oh, no, this is what it means. No, 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 no. The Bible means what it says. Jesus meant what he says, that at the midnight hour, they heard the bridegroom coming. Here comes the bridegroom. They want to trim the lamb to get ready to come for him. Like, this is what we're doing now. Hallelujah. We're seeking out the extra oil. And then so the wise virgin, what they did was they kept on seeking the Lord right to the midnight hour to make sure they had enough presence of the Lord, enough filling of the Holy Spirit, enough oil in their life, so they will be ratchet ready. What are we doing in the Lord's hour? This is what we're doing, my brothers and sisters. We are seeking that extra oil. We are seeking to be wise. We are seeking to be ratchet ready. We are seeking so when Jesus comes, he will find us seeking his presence, having enough oil for us to go home. That's what we're doing. Exactly what it says in Matthew 25. Nothing else. I don't need to change nothing there. I don't need to add nothing to that. That what it says there is exactly what God means. Hallelujah, my brothers and sisters. So don't let anyone take Matthew 25 and say, no, what this means is post-rapture. This means that you're going to stay 7 years more. You're going to wait on this 7 years for the trumpet to sound. Lie, 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 lie. They make it sound good. They make it sound beautiful. Oh, they speak in such a word that the words sound good, but it's a lie and a deceit. Do not fall for that. Do not fall for that. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. We had a brother here listening to the Lord Tower. He had joined like a week or two. And hallelujah, the Lord had cleansed his mind and heart. He went into the church. He walked into that church. Hallelujah. And immediately the pastor picked up the word and started preaching the opposite of the word. The opposite. He took the word and twisted the word around and was preaching it for that. And the church was full of people. And this brother that walked there for the first time, seeking a place to worship God, says, what are you doing? What's going on over here? This is not of God. He got up and walked right away from that church immediately. There's no way, no way you need to sit there and listen to the lie. No way. No way you sit there, hallelujah, and you let someone twist the word, hallelujah, teach you false teaching. You don't need to listen to that. You don't need to receive that. Because if you stay there and you receive that false teaching, hallelujah, you are responsible as the person that is teaching that false teaching to you.
That's right.
It's contaminating your soul. It's contaminating your life. What's going to come into your life is confusion. Confusion. I mean, you have people who believe in the righteous for many years who are now are believing, hallelujah, who are now are believing in post-rapture. Hallelujah. And they email me, where does the Bible talk about post-rapture? Nowhere. Someone emailed me about Daniel, the book of Daniel 11. I said, this is tribulation here. What are you talking about for post-rapture? Hallelujah. I can go over it with you. This is not talking about no post-rapture. This is a lie and a deceive. Another one, when the peace treaty is made in the Middle East, and the abomination, the desolation that Jesus talked about, praise Jesus, hallelujah, it's set there, then the rapture, the trumpet is going to sound a lie. That's a lie. That's a deceive. That's in the middle of the tribulation. 3.5 years of peace and 3.5 years of tribulation. The worst part of the tribulation. Hallelujah. I seen it with my own eyes. The Lord has taken me there. So how can you sit there in this church, in this temple, and you listen to that false teaching? You are responsible if you receive it. Don't receive it. Hallelujah. Keep your Bible next to you. And when they come with their false teaching, I tell them, look, I'm going to read to you what Jesus says in his word. This is what Jesus says, and this is what you say. I believe what Jesus says, and I reject what you say in Jesus' name. And you walk away, praise Jesus, hallelujah. You don't receive that. You don't receive that lie. You don't receive that deceit. Praise Jesus, hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because you're going to hear this word from Jesus. Come in, my faithful servant. And the little you have been faithful, come into the joy of your Lord. Those are the words you're going to hear very soon from Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come into the joys of your Lord. You're going to come into heaven, and you're going to rejoice with Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're down here, and we are being tested every day. Hallelujah. We're going through tests, trials, tribulations. Sometimes I get sick. The Lord heals me. And many people write to me, they get sick too. The Lord heals them. Hallelujah. And then we just go through so many things. But our eyes is on Jesus. Hallelujah. Our eyes is on the Lord. We're not here to pretend to be someone who we're not. We know that we need the Lord more and more every day. We depend on him for everything. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. We know that we cannot go to heaven on our own works, our own knowledge, and our own understanding. We know that we need the Lord more every day. Hallelujah. And all we want to do is humble ourselves before him. Seek his mercy and love. Seek to get knowledge from him. Hallelujah. Praise God. We depend on the Lord. We just depend on the Lord every day. Hallelujah. We just depend on him. Because we know we can go nowhere without Jesus. Hallelujah. And so, it is not for us to give anyone false teaching. Hallelujah. This is why we tell people, go to the Word. Go to the Bible. Read your Bible. Meditate on your Bible. If you are reading books that are confusing you, put it down. Put those books down. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Put those books down. If you're reading books that are confusing you, if you are listening to someone on YouTube, Facebook, or anywhere, Black Talks program, because there are many out there, and they are confusing you, you better shut them off. You better put those books down. Throw it in the garbage. If it's confusing you, throw it in the garbage. Hallelujah. Seek the Lord. I remember at the beginning of this year, we had this brother writing to me. He said, "Brother, I'm so confused, Brother Elvie. So confused. I don't know what to believe anymore, Brother Elvie." And I said, "Listen, brother. Listen to this very careful. You need to put every book that you're listening down. You need to stop listening to anyone out there. Hallelujah. Lock yourself in your house. Start fasting at least 3 days a week with just water. Read the Bible and pray. Just do that. Don't do nothing else." The Lord was the one that gave that to me for him. He went, hallelujah, locked himself for almost 3 weeks, just fasting, reading the Word, repenting, praying. He says, "Brother Elvie, hallelujah, this has been the biggest change I have ever received in my life. Hallelujah. My mind was so confused before. Now my mind is so clear. I only believe what that word says, Brother Elvie. That's it. Hallelujah. In my prayer, the Lord has set me free of so much," he says. Hallelujah. In those 2 weeks. It is amazing what God can do in our life, Brother Elvie. But I was so caught up in so many things up there that I didn't know which way was up. Hallelujah. And so, praise Jesus, I tell you, my brothers and sisters, take this advice. Put those confusing books down. Put them down. If you know you're getting confused by them, that means you should not be listening to them. I'm going to tell you something. The Holy Spirit might be convicting you of not to read this book, and you're probably ignoring, hallelujah, that quiet voice in you. You're ignoring the voice of the Holy Spirit because he's convicting you not to read those books. Put them down. Put them down. Start reading them. Praise Jesus. Start listening to those people that are getting you confused.
Amen.
Oh, one day they give you a word. Another day they give you another word. Mm-hmm. Now you don't know what to believe.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Put it down. Put it down. Stop it. Hallelujah. Just read your word and believe God through his word. And see how clear your mind will become. Your heart will get cleansed. Because all that confusion goes to your heart. Hallelujah. And after that, even your favorite meal will not taste good anymore. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. And so what I'm saying to you is, don't let this garbage come into your life. Hallelujah. Let the good word of God come into you. Let his light shine up in your mind. Pray for the light of Jesus to shine up in your mind. Ask the Lord, like David said in Psalm 51:10, against you have I sinned. Create within me, O Lord, a pure heart. Pure heart. He will do this. He will cleanse your heart. He will purify you. Hallelujah. He will get you ready. He will get you righteous ready. He will keep you that way if you stay in total repentance of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And it's just so important. I have a word here. I have a word, a short word, but it's very anointed. Hallelujah. And I want to put it on. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. And I want to come back after this word. I'll be back.
Praise the Lord, everyone, and welcome to God Killer 7 Channel. I'm Sister Barbara, and I have a prophecy I'd like to share with you today. You can join me. I'm going to be in the New King James Version Study Bible. I'm going to be in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 9. So where are we here? Okay, here we go. "It shall be in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem." Join me now in Zechariah 14, verses 12-15. "And this shall be the plague with which the Lord will strike all the people who fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall dissolve while they stand on their feet, their eyes shall dissolve in their sockets, and their tongue shall dissolve in their mouths. It shall come to pass in that day that a great panic from the Lord will be among them. Everyone will seize the hand of his neighbor and raise his hand against his neighbor's hand. Judah also will fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the surrounding nations shall be gathered together, gold, silver, and apparel in great abundance. Such also shall be the plague on the horse and the mule, on the camel and the donkey, and on all the cattle that will be in those camps, so shall this plague be. So I suggest that if you didn't listen to my prior dream message, that maybe you want to do that before you listen to this. The dream is called Painful Revelation Forthcoming. This is prophecy. I received this yesterday, December 20th, 2012. I called it the breath of fire. From the desert, behold, a great wind blowing, a breath of fire covering the land, separating the chaff from the wheat. See before you the great armies of man amassing in their war machines, surrounding the city of my chosen people. Hear ye, you armies of the Dark One. Wow, I have the Holy Spirit on me really strong. You may fight, but you will not prevail. I shall strike you down in your airships. I shall smite the marching men with my sword. No one will stand on the day of this great battle. You will run and you will be cut down. You will not escape. You will be utterly burned with fire. I shall protect my children. All will see the power and the might of the Lord, and they will know that I am their God. Stand with me and call on me now, for my anger is great. My voice echoes as thundering in the heavens. Thus says the Lord, those who are not with me are against me. So I'm hoping you're with him. I'm hoping you've listened to many of our messages in the past, calling unsaved and sinners to repentance. The Lord wants you to spend eternity with him. This is a very disturbing prophecy message. I'm going to give you what it sounded like to Brother Dan. I read this to him, and he said that this is our opinion. We don't have the translation for this message. He said it sounded like a nuclear bomb with the the breath of fire covering the land. So repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus. You'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And again, I'm proclaiming the acceptable year of the Lord from now until September 23rd, 2015, Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement. The Lord offers a complete cancellation of spiritual debt and a brand new beginning to anyone who responds to his message. So again, I'm calling sinners to repentance. You want to spend the eternity with the Lord, and you want to get yourself prepared. He's coming soon. Do whatever you need to do to make sure that you are with him forever. So again, tune in to Godtiller 7 YouTube, Godtiller 7 Facebook. Join us there. I usually announce some of our messages beforehand, and Godtiller 7 Twitter and our backup channel, Fear of God 7. Thank you. And again, today is December 21st, 2012, and I'm not sure what time it is. Probably nearing 11 o'clock, but so far we're all still here, and we're all still safe. So amen and praise the Lord.
Hey, Jesus, hallelujah. I also had a similar revelation like she had. She had a word, but I had a revelation from the Lord where I seen a nuclear weapon going off. And it was bad. It was really, really bad what I seen. This nuclear weapon just going off. It just I don't understand the full details of the revelation that I got, but it's something bad is coming soon, very soon. And so it is a warning for the people, hallelujah, to be in repenting, the people that are still in sin and they're not taking the warning of the Lord serious, hallelujah. Very soon they will know that what the Lord has been showing to us and giving to us through his prophet are true word that are coming to pass very soon. And the bride of Christ will not be here to see all this coming. It is not for us. We have the promise that we're going to be taken out of here before these things come. We might see the beginning of things. One of the things the Lord showed me is that very soon this Antichrist is going to be taking Social Security away from people, and many other checks that people receive from the government are going to be taken away very soon by people. They are reducing them now.
very soon they're going to tell the people that this nation is going into bankruptcy. And I believe this is going to happen right after the earthquake in California. This is going to bring this country to bankruptcy, because not only California will be affected, other countries near California are going to be affected by the earthquake. And then there's a following tsunami right after that, not far from that, that is going to hit California. I'm not sure if we're going to see the tsunami, but the Lord showed me the tsunami will be very, very close within days. Hallelujah. Not even a month before the earthquake happens in California, there's a tsunami coming. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. And so, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah for that. Loop. Hallelujah. God will always reward his people. Hallelujah. Praise God. But the atheists, the unbeliever, people that are backsliding, they're getting their church cut off. Hallelujah. But God's people are going to be rewarded because the Lord takes care of us. Hallelujah. And so what I'm saying to people is keep your eyes on Jesus. Trust him. Hallelujah. And just seek him to be going home. Hallelujah. I got another word here. And before I play it, we've been talking about grace. Hallelujah. This amazing grace that God has given us his son, Jesus Christ. It is so amazing. I will be back after this. Hallelujah.
I'm recording already, apparently. Okay, this word is from December 19th. Children of the land, your destiny has caught up to thee. Now is time for me to come forth. My plan will unravel before your eyes. My children, you must remain focused on me. I cannot perform my work in thee if you do not believe. Allow me, children, do not fear. Allow me to do my work within you. I will appear to the temple suddenly. Will you hear me knock? Will you hear me call? Prepare, for a great work is done in your midst. Let us fly upon the wings of eagles. Let me take you to the heights that you have never been to. Surrender to me your trust and faith. I will not take it forcefully, but only by your compliance. Let me show you my all. Let me make you like me. Come now, children, run into your place of safety. Shall I not come to manifest my sons? All in order, all in a row, all prepared, for I have arranged all. Now when they say peace and safety, know that they prophesy lies unto you. For no one but a few will walk in my garden where only true safety exists. Listen, children, to the sounds of the waves. They ever increase even now. Listen for them, for they will grow louder and louder until they are undeniable. The final call shall all but rupture your ear, a blast, a clap that not many can hear. Ready yourselves, children, for my day is on the horizon and my angels are ready to sound. This morning, right before I woke up, I heard something, and it felt like it caused my ears to pop. You know when you sneeze and you hold it all in and your ears popped? That's what I heard this morning, and I think it's related to what he gave me this afternoon. The final call shall all but rupture your ear, a blast, a clap. He's told me before it begins with a clap, that not many can hear. Thanks for watching.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His gracious power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood? In the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments full of Sunday white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood? In the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments full of Sunday white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white? Throw on wine in the blood of the Lamb. Will your soul be ready for the mansion bread? And be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood? In the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments all as other white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin, and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean, and we washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood? In the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are you and doing all my days and all my hours. All for Jesus, all for Jesus, all my days and all my hours. All for Jesus, all for Jesus, all my days and all my hours. Let my hands be for his bidding. Let my feet run in his way. Let my eyes see Jesus only. Let my lips speak forth his praise. All for Jesus, all for Jesus. Let my lips speak forth his praise. All for Jesus, all for Jesus. Let my lips speak forth his praise. Since my eyes were fixed on Jesus, I've lost sight of all besides. So enchained my spirit's vision, looking at the crucified. All for Jesus, all for Jesus, looking at the crucified. All for Jesus, all for Jesus, looking at the crucified. Oh, what wonder, how amazing, Jesus, glorious King of Kings. Thanks to call me his beloved, let me next night his ring. All for Jesus, all for Jesus, resting now beneath his wings. All for Jesus, all for Jesus, resting now beneath his wings.
At the feet of Jesus, watching, waiting every day, trusting in his grace and power, safe to keep me all the way. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, where I love to kneel and pray, till he's gonna send his glory, drive his shadows from my way. Listening at the feet of Jesus, his command to go or stay. Trusting always in his wisdom, safe to God when I obey. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, where I love to kneel and pray, till his goodness and his glory drive the shadows from my way. Seeking still the feet of Jesus, I will seek no other place. For 'tis there I claim the promise of the fullness of his grace. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, where I love to kneel and pray, till his goodness and his glory drive the shadows from my way. When the chores of life are over, when my race on earth is run, may the evening shadows gathering find me there when day is done. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, where I love to kneel and pray, till his goodness and his glory drive the shadows from my way.
Pray, Jesus, hallelujah. Romans 5:2 said, through whom we have access by faith unto grace, in which we stand and rejoice in hope in the glory of God. Romans 5:15 says, but the free gift, it is not like the offense, for as by one man offense many die, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man,
Jesus Christ, abound to many. Through him, through his grace, hallelujah. Romans 5:17-4, by the one man offense, their reign through one, much more those receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Through him, my brothers and sisters, hallelujah, through grace we are saved. And it's a gift of God for you and I, hallelujah. And it's so awesome, hallelujah, what God has done to bring a family together, a bride of Christ, to soon be going home, hallelujah, to celebrate in the wedding supper of his son, which is already, it's already ready in heaven. Everything is prepared, hallelujah. And just as a sister today was saying on YouTube, that she heard from the Lord that the Father was inspecting everything in heaven, hallelujah, to where the bride is going to be taken. The Father was inspecting everything, praise Jesus, hallelujah, to make sure everything, the Son does everything for the bride. Imagine that the Father, Abba, Yahweh, is inspecting everything for what the bride is going to, hallelujah, making sure that before he gives the order, hallelujah, praise Jesus, praise God, hallelujah, before he gives the order, everything is ready for his bride. Imagine that. God is looking forward to the rapture. The Holy Spirit is looking forward to the rapture. Jesus is looking forward for the rapture. All the redeemers in heaven are looking forward to the rapture. All the angels and spirits in heaven, hallelujah, and true ancients of God, looking forward to the rapture of the Church of Christ. Amen. And the people down here, the mega churches, are preaching that is not such a thing of a rapture. God is waiting for the rapture. And these mega churches pastor are preaching against the rapture. How opposite to the Church of Christ are all these mega churches who call themselves Christian down here. Totally opposite to the true gospel of our Lord and Savior of Jesus Christ. May the Lord have mercy on them. May his grace reach them for them to be saved and for their eyes to be opened. Hallelujah. Before it's too late. Before, hallelujah, they have dinner with the Antichrist in the middle of this tribulation. Before they see the abomination and desolation going to the Holy Land to set himself there as God, hallelujah, and pretend to be the Savior of the world. That is so sad, pretend to be the Messiah. That is so sad, hallelujah. But the Lord was very clear to me years ago. If you don't believe in my rapture, which is biblical, throughout all the Bible, the rapture is there. Hallelujah. And the Lord says, if you don't believe in my rapture, you are not going home in the rapture. And I was there standing before Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The Lord was speaking this word to me. I was trembling and my feet were shaking. My whole body was shaking. My whole being was shaking after I heard his word. Hallelujah. Praise God. And he gave me a short revelation. I saw Elisha the prophet. Hallelujah, in that tribulation, preaching the word. Hallelujah, after everything was basically destroyed, I saw Elisha the prophet, hallelujah, preaching the word of God. And the Lord gave me that revelation, and Elisha was dressed according to how the Bible says he was dressed back in the Old Testament, just like John the Baptist. Hallelujah, and I looked at him with my own eyes. I looked at the love he had in him from God, preaching to the lost. Given testimony of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. When I saw that and Jesus said, if you don't believe in my rapture, you will have to stay in this tribulation. And when I saw the horrible tribulation, I that was not believing in the rapture, oh my goodness, did the Lord open my eyes. He truly opened my eyes. I came out of that revelation crying worse than a baby. I was crying for mercy for my own life. Hallelujah. Because I was being confronted by God, by the true, hallelujah, by the true gospel, that the rapture is real. Jesus showed me right through all the New Testament, the rapture, boom, 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 right through his word. And I was seeing everywhere through the eyes of the Lord, the rapture, right through Matthew, right through all the books of the New Testament, rapture, 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 rapture. It's not like, how can I cannot see this? How is it that I have a Bible and not see the rapture in the Bible? And I was repenting, repenting, repenting. Hallelujah, because I was being lied to. I was believing another gospel that teaches that the rapture is not real. Boy, was I being deceived, hallelujah. But by the grace of God, praise Jesus, hallelujah, I was led to understand by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, hallelujah, that the rapture is a reality and it is in his word. Hallelujah. And you have to look for it. Hallelujah. And even if you don't find it, you got to ask and the Lord will show it to you. It's there. Blink on an eye. Caught up in the air. All these words are rapture word, rapture word. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. It's there. Praise God. Now when I open my Bible, I see it everywhere. I open my Bibles in the Old Testament, in Psalm, Proverbs, anywhere, and I see rapture, rapture, rapture word, rapture word. Hallelujah. Praise God. It is there. It's so clear. And I'm like, how can I be so blind? How can I be so blind to the truth? Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Because when you are being deceived, when you are being taught false teaching, hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is so bad. It is so evil. But this is what the devil is doing. He is working 24 hours a day. Hallelujah, 7 days a week to deceive, even to try to deceive the elect. The Bible says, hallelujah, he is trying to deceive the people that are going home in the rapture, the people that are in the list to be going home. The devil is working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Hallelujah, just trying to work, trying to get someone to believe his lie, trying to get someone to follow him. And he got billions and billions of people following his lie, teaching them the Buddha's teaching, the Islam teaching, hallelujah. And so much, there's over 2,000 religion up there, Sister Amy, hallelujah. How do you see this, Sister Amy? 2,000 religion over.
You know, it's amazing, Brother Elvy. There's so much out there, and what Satan wants to do is he wants to take everybody's hope away. He wants to take the hope away, so the believers, you know, they give up and they're led astray. And, you know, Satan has so much more access when you have no hope. And, you know, the Lord is not going to beat up his bride really good in the tribulation before he takes her home. That just doesn't make sense. Amen, Brother Elvie?
Amen. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. That is so true. That is so, so, so true. Hallelujah. Praise God, hallelujah. And so, yeah, we're not appointed. This is one of the verses Brother Alberto gave me. We are not appointed to wrath, the Bible says. And he looked it up and sent it to me. He said, look what it says here, Brother Alvi. We are not appointed to wrath. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, it's clear there. We, Paul says to the church, we are not appointed to wrath. It's there. It's clear. We're not appointed to destruction and destruction. That's what 7 years is, destruction. Read Revelation 16 and on. Destruction after destruction after destruction. That's what's coming. Before you get to Revelation 19, the earth is basically nothing. It's basically completely destroyed. Hallelujah. By the time, by the second half of the tribulation with the 144,000, you hear them being mentioned. Hallelujah. It is just so much distraction. And the devil even torments them. He cannot kill them, but he makes their life miserable. Miserable. The 144,000. A lot of people say to me, Brother Elvy, do you think I'm part of the 144,000? And I said, well, I pretty much don't know that mystery, but I don't think the Lord wants you to stay here. For if you are a bride of Christ, and you call yourself out of the 144,000, I don't know if the Lord wants you to go through 7 years tribulation. I don't know. Even if he puts the mark in your head, like the Bible says, for the devil not to kill you, okay? I don't think so. I don't think the Lord wants you. I believe these 144,000 are chosen out of the tribe of Israel.
Amen.
But a lot of people say, but the tribe of Israel has been around the world right now. Who knows who they are? Okay, but when I read that, that's what it says. And so,
Amen.
Hallelujah, a lot of people don't agree with me on that. They say, no, we the Gentile are part of the 144,000, they say. Amen. And what do you think about that, Sister Amy?
I'm the same way as you, Brother Elvy. I do believe that it is the tribes of Israel, that it is the Jewish people. Amen.
Amen. Can I hear, hallelujah, amen, the Lord knows who they are. That is so true. The Lord knows whom they are. But when you read about the 144,000, it tells you out of where they're coming. Okay, out of every tribe. And so if you go back to the tribe, we're talking about the Jewish tribe. Praise Jesus, hallelujah. And so again, you know, only the Lord truly knows that revelation. I will have to pray about it. But I kind of stick with the word on this, what the word says about it. Praise Jesus, hallelujah. I could be wrong about it. I could sincerely be wrong about it. But I stick with what the word says, hallelujah. Because I don't think that Jesus wants us to go through 7 years tribulation. It's not for us. It is not for us. I mean, he haven't said that to me. He haven't revealed that to me. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus, hallelujah. Yes, Avalon, that's true. If you are a Jewish, you can be part of the 144,000, but you are saved by grace, aren't you? Hallelujah. Remember that the Jewish people are left to the end. And according to the prophet Isaiah and Jeremiah, Jacob trouble 7 years. It doesn't say 7 years, but it talks about Jacob's trouble. And then it's revealed to the 7 years. Half of the time, and hallelujah, and then the 7 year is accomplished or completed, I would say. And so I believe it is really coming out of the Jewish tribe. Praise Jesus, hallelujah. And so, praise God, that is so true, hallelujah. And so, I have Jewish root too, through my family, through my father's line. And so I know I come from out of the Jewish people. So I'm a true Jewish, according to the DNA. I'm a true Jewish. That's been revealed to me by the Lord. And so I'm a true Jewish by blood, by DNA. And so, hallelujah, praise Jesus, hallelujah. And so I'm part of the 144,000, but I'm not. I'm part of the bride of Christ going to heaven before the tribulation. Hallelujah. And we might need to have more revelation about the 144,000 for sure. We just don't know more. So I don't want to deceive anyone, because I know a lot of people have looked into this, have studied this, and they really don't talk about. Praise Jesus, hallelujah. But I don't know much about it. I have read the word, and I know what the word says about it. And so my understanding bent that it's coming out of the tribe that's been scattered to the world. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus, hallelujah. I don't believe about what a lot of the information that is online. Hallelujah. I don't believe about all the information that people put out there online in regard to this. Because if you go Jewish root, a lot of the Jewish people has been mixed with other nations, according to the Bible, according to Jeremiah. Remember, they went down captive by the king of Babylon. And so when they went down to Babylon, they were taken there captive, and they mixed with those people over there. So the people that came out of Babylon, hallelujah, were not 100% Jewish now. You have then mixed with the women in Babylon and all that. And so when they mix with all these nations, and even if we go back to Joshua and Moses, they still did that. They slept with the other, they went together with other women of the nations. And so they had children with them and all that. And so as you go on, the true Jewish DNA, I only believe it's only kept by God, not by following the race of the Jewish people. because they just went through so much. So much, and even then themselves, hallelujah, were really, really, really mixed. Only when you read the book of Luke's in the beginning, it tells you the generation of there being kept by God. And let me tell you something about that generation in the book of Luke. Okay? The Jewish people now don't believe in the generational line that God revealed to Luke's in his book. They just don't believe that. Okay, that Jewish line. They believe that the way that it was put there, and it was actually put there by the Holy Spirit through the apostle Luke, revealed to him by the Holy Spirit and all that, and he went and put that together. So that comes from God himself, the way it is. And the Jewish people now in the flesh don't believe in that. I heard this from Jewish people themselves, rabbi, that they have said that revelation they are given to Luke, hallelujah, is not accurate. That's what they say. So we know they're not right according to that, because all the mix they have. So God did put the generational line put together right, because God never makes a mistake. God is perfect. We are the one that makes a mistake. So what these Jewish people are claiming is just not right. It is not right. And they don't agree with what the Holy Spirit put together through Luke's, through the apostle Luke's. So we know that they are wrong. They are completely wrong. I want to go there a minute. Hallelujah. And point something out there that I heard a rabbi speaking about. And it's just not, praise Jesus, hallelujah, accurate. Praise God, because God don't make a mistake. He just doesn't make a mistake. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus, hallelujah. God is perfect. Hallelujah. He is perfect. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. He is so good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. What do you think about this, Sister Amy?
I just, I'm reading everybody's responses in the chat room. And, you know, I don't know a whole lot about the Jewish descendant and how that works. But, you know, like you're saying, I can only go by, you know, what the word says, and it names off those tribes. But again, you know, I pray that God will give us a revelation on this, because, you know, we could be missing something.
Amen. Well, here's what I'm talking about. Go to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Here's what the Holy Spirit revealed to Matthew. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob. And as you go down, okay, then you reach chapter 12 here. And chapter 10, I'm going to go. Hezekiah begot Manasseh. Manasseh begot Amon. Amon begot Hosea. Josiah begot Jeconiah, his brother, about the time they were carried away to Babylon. So where are we right here in verse 11? In Jeremiah, into the prophet Jeremiah. Okay? We are in the prophet Jeremiah in verse 11. Verse 12. After they were brought out of Babylon, now they're coming out of Babylon. Ezekiel. Praise Jesus, hallelujah. Jeconiah begot Shelah, and Shelah begot Jerubbaal. Jerubbaal begot Abiel. And it goes on and on and on. Lekiah, praise Jesus, hallelujah. And then verse 16. And now, verse 16 of Matthew 1, and Jacob begot Joseph, his husband, and Mary, who was born of Jesus, who was called the Christ. Here from Jacob, okay, who is the true Israel, who is Jacob? Jacob is the true Israel. Israel, my son. Remember I read that to you, in, hallelujah, in Genesis? Where God says to Jacob, Jacob, my son, praise Jesus, hallelujah, and referring, hallelujah, and that was Exodus, I believe it's Exodus 4, around there somewhere, okay, and so Jacob begot Joseph, husband of Mary, who was born of Jesus, who was called Christ, and all the generation of Abraham, David, are 14 generations from David unto the captivity in Babylon, are 14 generations. For the captivity of Babylon unto the Christ are 14 generations. So God kept here the true DNA until Christ. Until Christ. Okay, praise Jesus, hallelujah. And now, and so Jacob, who I'm sorry, Joseph, who is the husband of Mary, because they got really married, and it says who was born of Jesus from Mary, hallelujah. Why were Joseph and Mary together? That DNA was kept by God there, and they went down the line. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. So all the generation of Abraham to David are 14 generations from David unto the captivity of Babylon. Are 14 generations from the captivity of Babylon unto the Christ are 14 generations. So from one thing to another, from David to Babylon, 14 generations, hallelujah, to the captivity, hallelujah, unto Christ were 14 generations. So God was keeping this through DNA by the generation of the people. Okay? So although the people went in and got together with the people of Babylon and all that, they were people that God kept for himself. He kept this generation for himself. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. So these are true DNA of Christ. Verse 18. Christ born of Mary. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was followed after his mother Mary was betrothed by Joseph. Before they came together, she was found with a child of the Holy Spirit. So God here, hallelujah, was keeping the true DNA through Mary and Joseph. Hallelujah, but they have to be married. So before they were married, she had Jesus. Hallelujah. Joseph, her husband, just amen, and it tells you what happens there and all that. Praise Jesus, hallelujah. And then it's revealed that it's conceived by the Holy Spirit. And then she will bring forth a son, and you should call his name Jesus, for he will be saved from his people from sin. Hallelujah. And so all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord to the prophet, saying, and again, it takes you back through the prophet, following the true DNA. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. And from that true DNA comes the bride of Christ. I'm going to say it again. From that true DNA comes the bride of Christ. Now, I don't know if the 144,000 comes out of that true DNA. It could come out, okay, out of the other tribe of Israel. But I don't know. I just don't know. It will be a mystery that God will have to reveal to us. But I know we come from the true DNA. Praise Jesus, hallelujah. I just don't know. Praise God. And also because they are for God, which is the true DNA, hallelujah. But it doesn't say that the 144,000, this is one thing that it doesn't say, that they are saved by grace. If someone can find that in Revelation or somewhere, then we got another point there. But it doesn't say they are saved by grace. It only says that God separated them out of the tribe, which also can mean out of the true DNA, God chose, hallelujah, 12,000 each out of them. Hallelujah. But it's completely different than the bride who is going home in the rapture. The rapture is for the bride of the true DNA. And the 144,000, hallelujah, we also know they are also true DNA. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. So that means they are our brother and sister. Okay? We can conclude that, hallelujah, because that's how God has put it together. Praise Jesus, but they have been chosen to stay here for the tribulation. But the bride is not chosen to stay here for the tribulation. The bride has a pass from God to be going home before the tribulation. Hallelujah. Before, you know, the midnight hour, the ninth, hallelujah, in other words, starts at 12 midnight. Hallelujah. The new date, I would say, at 12 midnight. So the church gets taken. Hallelujah, right in the beginning of the new day. Okay, right in the beginning of darkness. It's another word. It gets taken right in the beginning of the new day. It gets taken out of in the beginning, hallelujah, of the tribulation. Okay, right from the beginning of the tribulation, right before the tribulation starts, we get taken out. Praise Jesus, hallelujah. Praise Jesus. So the 144,000, we can research this. I can go into the Bible, research this. Hallelujah. If you got good information, send it to me. But please don't send me false teaching. Make sure you ask the Lord before you do so. If you send me false teaching and the Lord tells me false teaching, I'm just going to delete it and I'm not going to read it. Because immediately the Lord will let me know if it's false teaching, not to read it. So be very careful what you sent me. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. But we can go into the Word. We can research that. We can pray about this. Hallelujah. And we can seek this out from God. Hallelujah. But anyway, again, the point here being that the 144,000 are staying in the tribulation and we're not. So that means they have a mission from God and we have another mission. Now, coming out of the 144,000, Satan will not kill them, but he will torment them. What do you think about that, Amy?
Amen, Brother Elvie. He will torment them. Amen. And you know, it's a sad thing, and it's coming. I mean, we're here at it, and you know what a blessing that the Lord has given the bride to be able to escape this torment. Amen.
That is so true. That is so true. And so that's another point I'm making. So what do people think about that? That, praise Jesus, hallelujah, that they are going to get tormented. So, and they need to suffer more. They need to suffer before they can go and enjoy that millennium. So that's another point there. Praise Jesus, hallelujah. So if there are people, let's say here in the United States, out of the 144,000, if they have to stay for the tribulation, that means that they need to suffer more. The suffering is not complete according to God. Hallelujah. So that is another point, and that is another mystery. But we can seek this out, and I can point a lot of things in regard to the 144,000. Hallelujah. And we can talk about it. Praise Jesus. But, yeah, we want to really continue to follow true DNA. Hallelujah. And I will say they are true DNA. There's not a doubt because God puts a mark on them and God separates them for himself. So that means they are truly true DNA. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. And they will not. That is thank you for that, Aviron, Aaron. Thank you for that point. That is another point there, that they are not taking the mark of the beast. God is going to keep them from getting the mark of the beast. That is a great point. Thank you for that. Hallelujah. They will not take the mark of the beast. And so there's a lot of things that we can talk about it. I would like to continue talking about the true DNA, and that will happen maybe Monday or Wednesday. We will see. So the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord give you shalom, my brothers and sisters. Have a great night, great weekend. Enjoy with your family. Sister Amy, I want to thank you for joining us tonight. You've been a great help, sister. Thank you for covering me. When my microphone went down, I thank you very much, sister.
Amen. Amen, Brother Elvie. You have a good night.
You too. Shalom to Jessica and Vicky. Hallelujah. And Vicky and Tommy. I don't know if she's listening to me. Shalom to her. Hallelujah. And I have read her email. I haven't gotten back to her, but that is a great idea,
okay.
Sister Tommy. So when you get to talk to her, please let her know, Sister Amy. Thank you.
I sure will, Brother Elvie. Thank you so much.
Amen. Have a great night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Hallelujah. You are all welcome to the Lord's Hour. What a great program we had last night. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. We had such a great, great program. The Lord ministered in such a special way. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Well, tonight, hallelujah, we have a brother from Germany. Hallelujah. Job. He is going to come on the Lord's Hour. Hallelujah. And share a Bible study, hallelujah, he has prepared something the Lord's been putting on his heart to prepare and share with us. Brother Job, you're there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me all? Fine.
Yeah, we hear you fine, brother, hallelujah. He's coming live from Germany, hallelujah, and he will be sharing the word of God with us tonight. Brother, do as much as you can, hallelujah. If you get tired, let me know and I will take over, okay, brother?
Oh, yeah, that's great. I'm really thankful for this offer.
Amen. Go ahead. Everyone is listening, brother. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, thank you, Elvie, for inviting me on the show. It's the first time I do something like this on the internet and on a radio show. I have done Bible studies various times before, but never like this. I always had people sitting in front of me, so it's a bit strange to me right now sitting here in my living room and talking to a machine. Well, imagine this 20 years ago, if you would have done this, what? Yeah, but time changes, and it's just like Daniel said, that in the last time, knowledge will increase. Of course, first he talked about spiritual knowledge, but technical and other knowledge also increased. And all this is a sign for us that the end is very near. Yes. I can... Well, I listen to the Lord, for many months right now, and I do understand everything what Elvis says or other says, but I sometimes have some problems to find the right words, and please would you excuse me and have a little patience with me when I don't find the right expression immediately. And like everybody who goes and talks about Jesus, I have been really under attack today. Yes, we all know there's someone out there who doesn't like what we are doing, and so I got some problems to concentrate myself like I usually never had, and had some health issues. And as we always should do, I will start this hour today with prayer, and I would please ask you to join me in prayer, and if you agree with what I say, to say amen to this, and to please pray also for me so that I can really do it as I should today. Holy Lord Jesus, you see us here right now. You see everybody in his home or wherever the person is. You see what we are doing. You see what we are thinking. You see and you know who we are. And Holy Lord Jesus, I ask you, come right here to everybody. Come to us, to the internet show, and talk to us, be with us, and help us to do whatever we do. Open up the hearts of all the listeners today. Let them understand what you want to say to them, what your holy word says, what you personally wants to teach them. Yes, please, Jesus, be with us. Please protect the show. Please protect the technical stuff, that everything goes right, that the people can log in, and that there are no technical interruption. And I also ask you, please help me. Please help me right here where I am to concentrate myself and to please, Holy Spirit. Give me words. Give me words to speak. Give me words to help me to speak your words, not my words. My words will fail. My words will go nowhere, right nowhere, but your words are eternal. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Well, just a little bit about myself. My name is, I got a nickname right here, John or Joe, just as you want to call me. And I am a Christian brother from Germany. I live here in the northern part of Germany. And I'm, as I hope all of you, I'm seeking the Lord, and I'm waiting for Jesus' return. And yes, of course, I'm awaiting his return very soon. If not, I would not be listening to the radio show, surely. Yes. Well, my Christian walk. Let's say, I make it short. More or less 10 years ago, I found Jesus. I really found Jesus. I knew him somewhat before. But I found him outside of any church. Yes, I found him at home, I could say, to make it short. And I spent some years reading the Bible, reading certain Christian books and texts where the Lord led me to, and I went on learning about Jesus and his ways. I had to move two or three times because of my profession, and when I finally stayed somewhere in the town, I also joined a church. And well, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to say, if you first read the Bible and learn from it and you go to a church, well, there's some kind of surprise. Yeah? You know the Bible, you know the ways of God, and you simply see that there are people who don't live like the Word of God. And I was a bit, little shocked. Yes. Well, by the way, by the years I kept on growing, and I kept on doing the other. First I entered the church, and I said, oh, these Christians, they've got so many years living here, and they know so much more than I, who just joined the church for the first time. Yes, and so the years went by, and by the time I thought, where I have so learned so much the last years, I've grown in the spirit, I've known Jesus from other sides, other aspects of his being, of his will, of his ways, whatever, and I saw Christian friends I had who just stood the same, and well, I thought there's something wrong. Yes, this may be a story some of you know somehow. Yes. So, more or less 2 weeks ago, I offered Elvie to come on the show and make a radio show about holiness. Yes, holiness is one of my favorite themes regarding the Bible, and I've spent years studying holiness because I was taught by the Lord the fear of the Lord. I had really a lot of fear of the Lord, and it was my intention to learn more because I said myself, I must go to heaven. There's no alternative. I must go to heaven. So I studied the Bible and learned about holiness. And I met also other Christians who really wanted to do the will of God, but many of them had a problem. Yes, it's simply that they did not know the will of the Lord. And there was nobody who really taught them this. And by this, I came to make sometimes a Bible study about holiness. And yes. So I came because Elvie asked for help on the radio show, and so I offered him. Great. So we start. Yes. Well, in the church I went to, of course, there were also real Christians, but one problem we don't really have here in Germany is the prosperity gospel. Yes, I think it's because of the mentality of the people, because if somebody offers them money and preaches about money, they don't really trust that. Well, it exists, but really a few. The greater problem we have around here is lukewarmness and the false teaching of grace, that
Brother, you hear me?
Yes.
Can you up your volume a little bit more so people can hear you more and much clearer?
Volume a little bit more. My volume is put high up. Let me
just
a minute. Now it's up to the maximum level right here.
Okay. Yeah, I can hear you much better now.
Yes, I get a little closer to the phone. I have my my notes. Here
okay.
Before me, and I was a little far away. Is it better right now?
Yes, I hear you better now. Thank you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, I just happened to see the chat room. 1 a.m., yeah, that's right. 1 a.m. 20 right now. I'm glad that the last weekend they changed the time from summertime to wintertime, and just 1 week ago we would have had 2 o'clock 20 right here. So I get an hour earlier to bed today. Well, great. So, yes, I said I initially wanted to talk about holiness today. Yes, and I started to pray, oh Jesus, please lead me, please tell me what I should be doing. And I started to review my old notes about it, but somehow I always got stuck. I couldn't proceed in my preparation. Well, this was a bit strange to me because usually if you prepare something and you're doing the will of God, the things come to you, yeah? And it gets quite easy. So I kept on praying, and by the time I became a bit nervous. 1 week went by, the other week went by partially 3 days, and well, but there were other thoughts coming to my mind, And so finally I found out this was the leading of the Holy Spirit, that we talk about something similar that is somehow related to holiness. And we will, at the end, when there will be time left, and when I don't fall asleep before it gets 3 o'clock, no, I won't, I surely won't. So we'll always also go to some aspects of holiness. Well, the thing we'll be talking about. Some months ago, I heard Alvi teaching about the Holy Spirit in general. Yes, and he also said that people who do sin, like David did with Bathsheba, that they can lose the Holy Spirit, because if we sin, the Holy Spirit does not want to stay within us. Well, somehow I had heard about things like that, but not really. I always had believed the common teaching that when you once get saved, you get the Holy Spirit, and that's it. Maybe he leaves you if you fall away, if you backslide. But nevertheless, and I always thought this was right, but in fact, I wasn't really thinking about it at all. So I started thinking, and I started praying, Jesus, please teach me about it. And yeah, there were some interesting things he showed me. Well, and to introduce it today, I just want to go to a scripture. Let's start with Corinthians 12:2. Yes, I think that means that I always wait until everybody has opened his Bible, as usually the shows pass on quite quickly. Yes, so I'm just going to open my Bible and read the verse to you. I've bought myself a King James version, as I think it's widespread version in general. And well, I like it. I've got some other reasons to buy this. This would be a topic for another day. Well, let's go to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Well, so far so good. This was still fitting in my old way of thinking, that, no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Yeah, well, I thought you repent, you come to Jesus, you give him your life, the Holy Ghost enters you, and so you can say Jesus is Lord. But that's strange. There are some other religions who doesn't really convert to Jesus, and who also say this. Well, before we go on, we read Psalm 119, verse 160, where I have looked up different translations, and I think the NIV is saying best what's referring to this matter. Psalm 119, verse 160. The sum of your word is true. This is a really important verse, because, as you surely know, it's a widespread custom to pick out single verses from the Bible and make a new teaching, a new belief out of it. Yes, there's many Christians. They see one verse of the Bible, like the one I just read to you, that no man can say Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost, and they believe that if they see something else that does not fit to the to their belief, they just ignore it. Yeah? But the Bible teaches us about the sum of the Word of God. And if we are supposed to learn about the sum of the Word of God, we have to We have to regard all verses, all everything the Lord is saying. And so I came about another verse. Let's read Acts 19, verse 1 to 2. Just wait a minute. Well, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper court, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Wow, that's strange. There are people, Christians, in Ephesus, and not only Christians, but in verse 1, Paul calls them disciples. They call them disciples. And a disciple, as we know, the disciples of Jesus, is, I don't know if we could say every Christian is a disciple. No, of course we can't. But they have had to be somehow advanced in the faith. Yeah? And these disciples did not even know that there was any Holy Ghost. Wow, that's something different. There's just even more examples like this in the Bible. Let's look at Jesus himself. Well, question, did Jesus have the Holy Ghost? Oh, brother, what questions you're asking. Of course he had, yeah? It's logical. Jesus had the Holy Ghost. He worked through the Holy Ghost. He had the Holy Ghost, whom he called the finger of God, and he sent us the Holy Ghost. Yes. But did he always have him? When did he get him? We remember, that Jesus was baptized at the age of 30 years by John the Baptist. Yes. And after his baptism, the Holy Spirit came upon him, just before he went out to start his ministry. But remember, he was 30 years old. And before, when Jesus started his ministry, he already had learned everything he had to learn. As we see, for example, when he escaped from his parents at the age of 12, he went back to the temple. And unto fast. Well, he went back to the temple and learned about it. Yes, but he learned all the things he had to learn before he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Of course. Or everything Jesus learned was from the Holy Spirit. There's absolutely no doubt about it. I just want to go out on something else. I want to say that you somehow can learn about God even if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit completely, in the sense of we would... we would call said by the, filled by the Holy Spirit, yes, as Jesus was when he started his ministry and so on. Yes. Well, as we read Genesis 2, verse 7, just wait a minute. Well, it talks about the creation of man. And Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed unto his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Yes? And this verse, like in many other verses, the Bible teaches us that that man consists, is made out of three different, let's call it elements. It's not exact, but it will do it. It's the physical body, you see, it's his soul, and it's his spirit. And right here, the Lord God formed primarily the physical body out of the ground, and then he put his breath in it, which is nothing else but his spirit, and then man finally became a living soul. And that's the way it is. Somehow everybody has got an initial, some initial anointing of the Holy Spirit inside of himself. Because if you would not have any blessing of God at all, no human being would be able to recognize Jesus Christ as a Savior who has come down on earth to redeem mankind. Well, we see this a little bit more clearly later. Well, we see that really clear in the parable of the 10 virgins. Well, there's a lot of talking about the parable of the 10 virgins, but it is a really fascinating parable because of its depth. Yes, there's so many different aspects of it, and I'm really fascinated of all the different teachings you get out of that and how much you can learn. And yes, right over this, it's a very, very actual parable, as we know, as we all are waiting, awaiting the Lord's return and the rapture. And yes, so of course the Holy Spirit uses this parable a lot to speak. Well, the 10 virgins, they were a remnant. And by the way, in verse 1, we see the 10 virgins, and there's different, just wait a minute, I open it up here. There's different translations. I did not check them all, but for example, here, in the King James Version, it says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Yeah, here it says they went forth, but this translation is not really exact. As we look in the Greek text, there is a word to be found that is called ekbaino, which literally means go out. Ek, out, and bino, to go. Yeah, you may find this in other translations. And this is really important because this remnant of the 10 virgins goes out. They go out somewhere. This verb, this Greek word, ekbaino, literally means to go out, like to go out of a house, to go out of a building. And that's just what they did. They went out of a building, meaning they went out of the church of God. Yeah, that's... to every listener of the radio show of Elvi, that's nothing new. As you know, that today you have to be very carefully about which church you join. Yes? This Bible verse does not say that you have to go out of a church, but that you have to be really careful. And if they don't meet the requirements of God, well, maybe you have to go out. But let's return. We all know that the main difference between the five foolish virgins and the five wise ones was the amount of anointing oil of the Holy Spirit they had. Well, it's not called anointing oil right here. It's the oil that filled the lamp. But the oil... does not represent anything else but the Holy Spirit, as everybody knows. Yes, the Holy Spirit. Five had enough, five did not. But who is the Holy Spirit? Jesus calls him the Helper. The Holy Spirit is the Helper. No, he is not the aim. Yeah, it's the Holy Spirit is not the one because of whom we be Christians and for to whom we live. He is the helper. He is the helper on the way. And Jesus Christ says, Jesus Christ is the one who says about himself, I am the way. Yeah? So the Holy Spirit helps us on the way. Jesus is the way back to the Father because Jesus said, I am the way. truth and life, and nobody gets to the Father but through me. I translated analogously right here. Yeah? But the aim, where we shall go finally, is the Father, is the throne of the Father. And if you, just like Elvi teaches about the different levels of heaven, is that most people, most Christians who are raptured into heaven, primarily go to the first level. Yeah? But their aim, at least, is eternity. And just as Brother Larry told 2 weeks ago, the third level of heaven is already very soon, already very close to eternity. Well, the Father is the aim. So, it's really good to think about the Holy Spirit, to watch the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is the helper. And we should not be focusing only on the oil, the Holy Spirit, to understand this parable. Well, one more. Right now, let's imagine we are somewhere. It's getting dark, it's getting night, and we also have lamps, lamps that burn with oil. And yes, why do we light our lamp? Of course, we do light our lamps to get light. Nobody ever just burns oil just for burning oil. That's stupid. There's lots of better things you can do. Well, maybe if you're working in BP and have a platform in the Caribbean, it is different, but usually you don't. And so, the light is the thing, why we burn oil. And we see also in this parable that the light is the reason why the 10 virgins burned the oil, because they went out in the darkness, it was midnight when the bridegroom came, and so they needed light. Well, now we passed from oil to light. And as the oil represents the Holy Spirit, what does the light represent? Well, that's easy. Everybody knows this. And we go to John 8, verse 12, where Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And that's just the thing. Sorry. The main thing this parable is talking about is the light, as Jesus says. Well, of course, in the parable, the oil and the light is outside of the virgin. But we know, of course, that if we have the oil and we have the light, meaning the Holy Spirit and Jesus, we have to have them inside of ourselves. Yes. So, the same person which said, I am the light of the world, also said, you are the light of the world. Matthew 5:14. Well, that means we should be emitting light in this darkness just like Jesus. Yes, you see, Jesus is the light of the world, and he should be living inside of us. Well, in Galatians 2:20, we read, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Well, and that's just the thing. Christ should be living inside of me. So, if Jesus Christ is living inside of me, I am emitting the same light, should be emitting the same light as him. This is not only talking about the common teaching that Jesus Christ has to live in me, but in fact it's talking about a progressed state of Christianity, an advanced level of spiritual development. Well, if you, we will see, the state that Christ really lives inside of me is the state when, it's a certain state when you, in this state, many things, many trials or seductions of the world cannot touch you anymore. revealed about the different levels of spiritual advancement, but I tell you that Galatians 2:20 is definitely one decisive state in general. Well, going back to the 10 virgins, Jesus told the five foolish ones, "I do not know you." Yes, but if he did not know the five foolish ones, well, he must have known the five wise ones. Yes, because he let them in, and to them he did not say, "I don't know you." And it's just what Jesus was saying when he was at the bridegroom, when he was about to let enter the five wise virgins into heaven. Well, Jesus said, seeing them come, there they come, and I will let them in. I do know them because they are just like me. And that's the thing. These five wise virgins were emitting the light. They had Jesus Christ really living inside of themselves. They had really been changed in the image of God. And that's just the way, the criteria we're talking about. That's just the thing why Jesus did know him. Because they were not foolish. They did not waste their time. They did not go and buy oil somewhere else. But they lived with him and asked him to change him. And by this, by the time they were changed in this image, and so Jesus could let them in. In these five wise virgins, the plan of God to restore his creation has succeeded. Well, we know that in the beginning, Adam and Eve fell. Yes, they were created in the likeness of God, but they fell, and they were not anymore in the likeness of God. They were sinners. They were different. Yeah, but Jesus said, "I come to destroy the deeds of the devil," and in these five wise virgins, he has succeeded. So the original plan of God to restore these Christians, had success. They had what sometimes is called Christ-likeness. We'll get to this a little later. Well, let's talk about the five foolish virgins. Sorry, I just have to watch my notes to not get confused about it. Well, yes, as we said at the beginning, everybody and even every Christian has got an initial level of oil in general, meaning an initial level of the Holy Spirit, which makes them able to go to worship Jesus, to praise him, to pray and spend time with him. But the problem is that most Christians stay on this level. Well, we go to Romans 11, verse 22, which makes us see it a little clearer. Romans 11:22. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off. Yes? The beginning is, behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. Well, God has two aspects. He, of course, Jesus Christ, is the good God. He came down to earth. He to be crucified, to suffer, to redeem us. He did this out of love, of his unimaginable love he had towards mankind. And this is the God, Jesus the Lamb. What most Christians, most people, when they come to Jesus, when they give their life to Jesus, if you give your life to Jesus, you usually first see him as the Lamb, as the good God. Yes, but Romans 11:22 is talking about also of his severity. If you grow further, you should be learning about his severity. You should be learning about Jesus Christ also being the judge, not only the good God, but in the end, he will be judging us. As Jesus said, the Father has given me all power and the judgment. Not literally, but you know the verse. Yes. Well. But if you watch the church today, you will find out that most Christians stay in this beginning. In the beginning of knowledge. They only know Jesus the Lamb. They don't know Jesus the Lion, the Judge. And by this, they stay Christian. Sorry, Elvi, you're listening. Could you play some music? I need a little break. Elvi? Well, let's go on. Yeah, thank you for the break. Well, and as I told Sister Jesus Maria, you're a sister, yes? If I remind this correctly. Yes, I'm sorry, I'm a bit confused today, and I have to concentrate so much on the language that that I sometimes lose the red thread of what I'm saying. Yeah, well, I can tell, before I continue, I can talk about one or two things else. Well, for example, I remember that Elvi once had a vision about Germany when he saw this country in the time after the rapture, when he was seeing many Americans who had come here after their country was destroyed, and he saw how they were doing here, and he asked about the climate we do have here. Yes, and I can tell you, Elvi, that it must be quite similar to the region Massachusetts where you live. Yes, we have summers that are not too warm, sometimes warm, yes, sometimes really warm, and winters with snow and this. It must be similar to the place where you live. So you can more or less imagine how to understand the vision you got. Yes. By the way, something I noticed. Elvis said it and other also said it. I read this various times in the internet, different forums, etc., where people were talking in English about the rapture, and there's some. To me, it seems there's some discussion going on, because there are Christians who say that the word rapture is not in the Bible. Well, I can tell you that this is just a problem of some. Or I don't know all, I don't know very much about the English translation, because the word rapture is something, yeah, because of the vocabulary. But if you look to the ancient Greek text, I had to learn, well, as you surely all know, the Old Testament is written in Hebrew language mainly, and some smaller part in Aramaic language. And the New Testament is completely written in ancient Greek. Yes, and for my studies in university, I had to learn ancient Greek also. So this was quite hard. But today, as I read more and more about the Lord, it's of great use to me. So I can go to the original text and read what is written there. And there is a word in this famous Bible verse, of Paul, was 1 Thessalonians or Timotheus 4:16-17. Yes, where it's talking about the trumpet sound and the rapture. And yes, in the origin, well, there's a Greek word, harpazo, that sometimes is mentioned as in the meaning the rapture. Well, it's a verb, literally it means I rapture, harpazo, and you may also translate this as rapture. I can tell you, for example, that in the German Bible, the word rapture is clearly to see. It's plain to see. It's just like there. So this discussion somehow does not meet the matter. Yeah. And yeah. Well, if somebody again tells you about it, you can tell them that this is just a question of translation. Yeah. Elvi also talked sometimes about the leopard in Revelation 13, and somehow somebody told him that the leopard does represent Germany. Well, I don't know where he got this from, as the animal in the flag of Germany that represents this country is and has always been an eagle. Nothing of a leopard. For more than 1,000 years, I think the animal that represents Germany is an eagle. It has changed sometimes in shape and size, more or less, but it has always been an eagle. And I just don't know where there's a leopard around here. Where? Oh, or something else. I don't know if somebody has already told this. Maybe that somebody has talked about it. I usually don't like to repeat things other people already have said, but of course you cannot avoid it. Siempre. About the storm that has been coming to the USA that was so devastating to the city of New York and other places with this cruel damage. The name of the storm was Sandy. Yes, Sandy. And if we listen to this word Sandy, well, it as all the storms, high and low pressure areas have got names, female or male names. But Sandy also means in English language out of sand, made out of sand, or something that consists out of sand. Yeah? And that's just the meaning I want to talk about. Because Sandy, what is Sandy? For example, sandy ground. Yeah? You find sand, logical, primarily on the ground. And that's just, wait a minute, I'm opening my Bible. If we talk about sandy ground, we can read Matthew 7, verse 24 to 29, a story truly everybody knows. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth that saying of mine, and doth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the town, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. You see? Sand, sandy ground, houses built on sand. Well, you see, where did the storm touch land? It was not so far away from New York. In New York, we remember the Wall Street, for example. And so it's just a place where lots of people do build their houses on sand, washed away. You see, this is prophetic. And by the way, all this happened just 1 week before the Antichrist is going to be re-elected. So we see there's no coincidence in this. This reminds me of another catastrophe just 1 year and maybe a half ago, when there was a huge earthquake in New Zealand. Well, there was a city in New Zealand that was shaken by an earthquake a year or a half ago, more or less. And I got this from the internet. I did not prove all, but in the news, and it was a newspaper, they said that this town before had not been shaken by earthquakes. Well, there was a lot of destruction of the city, but nobody died. There were no people harmed, and this just got my attention, because the most interesting part of this is the name of the city, because this name was called Christchurch. Wow. So we see this city called Christchurch was shaken and partially destroyed. And if we read the Bible, we see the prophecy. No prophecy. It's in Roman, I think. That the judgment of God must begin in his own house. Well, and this was prophetic. The Lord told us by this way that he's going to shake his house, his own house on the earth. And as we know, there's some things not going right around here. Well, yeah, I really like prophecy and these things. I usually don't like too much the news. There's always bad news and all the stuff you don't really need to hear. But I just follow the news as many people, because I'm interested in these last days and what the Lord is doing, how he's talking to us right now. Yeah. In the break, I put on the chat room my email address. I've got an email address that you can write me. It is unworthyservant@web.de. For those who are listening to the archives and who maybe don't speak English, I will spell it. It's unworthyservant@web.de. Unworthy servant, one word, unworthyservant@web.de. Yeah. If somebody is interested to contact me, you can write to me. Well, just as other speakers, I will not go into any discussions, and I will not read any critics or something like this. Well, of course, I'm not doing right everything, but just right now, I'm not going to waste my time. If you have a serious matter about Jesus or whatsoever, I'm glad to talk to you. And also, yes, I once sent it to Elvie, and I don't remember if he said it, but for my local cell group, I translated Larry's prayer into German because they were interested in learning about it, but they don't speak any English. And so if you're interested, there might be somebody interesting to get it in German, you can write to me and I will send it to you. Well, great. Number of the beast, now we can do it later. Well, that's great. Let's go back to where we stopped before the break. Remember, we talked about Romans 11, verse 22, and about Jesus, the Lamb, Jesus, the Lion. Well, when you get to know Jesus, you usually know him as the Lamb, as a good one, as a forgiving, loving God. And later you should be learning to know him as the Lion. And if you mature even more, you learn that you have...
John.
Yes?
Do you say you had the prayer in German?
Yes, that's what I said.
Okay. Can you send it to me so we can post it in our webpage so the people from Germany who don't speak English can read it, can use it?
Yes, that's no problem. Yeah, okay. I will send it to you after the show. Or you want it right now?
No, yeah, send it after the show. I don't want you to get confused while you bringing the message. So go ahead, continue with the message.
Okay, I'm grateful about this. I translated it for my local cell group, where, they're really interested in prophecy too, and they talk a lot about the rapture, where they have problems to see how close the rapture really is. They say, well, it must be happening soon, but how soon? But nevertheless, I really enjoy the cell group every time we meet, because we can really talk about everything that's in the Bible. There's nobody who says, oh, wait a minute, stop, I cannot believe this. And so I really like that. And so I also told them about Larry's prayer and the what the Lord had told him about them, and they were interested. Well, but they don't speak any English, so I translated it for them. Well, great. I will send it to you after the show. Yes. Where did I stop? Oh, yeah. If you like to get... No. Sorry, I continue with somewhere else. Well, the difference about the Christians that only know Jesus the Lamb and of those who know Jesus the Lion is mainly the difference that some Christians only some Christians get to know the fear of the Lord in general. Well, if you only know the loving God, you don't learn about the judge, and you never learn to fear God. Well, that's a problem. Of course, nobody wants to have fear, and especially not fear about God. But the Bible tells us so. For example, in Psalm 111, verse 10, where it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." And this, and there's a lot of other things, other verses, where the Bible speaks about the fear of God. Yes. And it never, never, never speaks about the fear of God in a negative way. It's always a positive context. Yes? Just as the mentioned verse in Psalm 111, where it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Well, let's think logically. If I got the fear of God, well, I'm beginning to get wisdom. The other side is, if I don't have the fear of God, I don't start to get any wisdom. Who? And that's the problem. That's the problem. Here you see most clearly that it is not enough to stay in the beginning faith and revel in your real or imagined liberties, praising and worshiping God. You must grow and reach certain maturity in the spirit, meaning learning about the fear of God. Otherwise, you are in a great danger to be left behind, just as the five foolish virgins were, who did not learn about the fear of God, who did not begin to get any wisdom. Yes? And by this way, they did not start to be changed into the image, into the likeness of Jesus Christ. We can look at another Bible verse where this is confirmed. Let's go to Revelation 11, verse 1 to 2. Revelation 11, verse 1 to 2. "And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise, and measure the temple of God, and the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court, which is without the temple, or outside of the temple, leave out, and measure it not." Well, what is this Bible verse talking about? This is talking about the temple. And we remember that there were certain areas in the temple in Jerusalem where people got to worship. Well, there was there was the Holy of Holies, there was a holy place where only the priests had to go access, and there was a place where the Jewish people had access, where they could go and worship God. And outside of it, well, there were the place where only the Gentiles could go, the believers out of the heathen people, who also wanted to go and worship God. And when? This was in the physical realm. Now, we learn from Paul in the letter of Romans that the descendants of Abraham, which primarily has to be interpreted as the Jewish people, has also to be understood spiritually, and that indeed, really, those are Israel who believe in Jesus Christ. Yeah, and so we have to understand this here. Well, just as the Jews could enter more inside of the temple to worship God, to get closer to God, right here, the Christians really live with Jesus can enter. And the temple, where there are other people, those out of the Gentile people, which of course we all are, but now spiritually speaking, people who don't get too close to God, which keep on living some way in their heathen ways, yes, they are cut off right here. And what is this verse talking about? Well, about the rapture, where some are taken, some are not. And we find this pattern so many times in the Bible. Well, let me say something, what's the word, provocating, yes? Not provocating, well, but something that may surprise